Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
707 in St. Louis. You are listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After on the all-new 590 The Fan KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Timothy, Michael, McKernan, Jimmy, the Cat, Hayes, Douglas, Elvin, Vaughn, and the three-headed triumvirate. I like the term triumvirate. Plow, Iggy, Monster with you here on the radio program, a program that today, Doug, will feature Ken Bone, the official TMA correspondent for the election. And it also says on his on the captain's log, and friend of Iggy. I like that, FOI.
You guys have forged a friendship, have you?
Well, he's got that going for him.
9 o'clock, Brian Curtis, editor-at-large for The Ringer, who has been covering the election. That's at 9 o'clock. And at 1 o'clock, because you know what? The job just, it just doesn't stop. At 1 o'clock, I will be having a conversation, which we will have for you tomorrow on this program, with Senator Jack Danforth regarding the election. We will have that for you tomorrow. So there is your captain's log. The captain's log doesn't end at 10. It goes on and on and on. But let's start with the lead. Last night, the Hawks go into Cleveland and beat the Cavs 110-106.
I saw that coming.
Polling data indicated that was going to happen. If you're able to read
the Cavs were undefeated, and this sends a message. Doug, you have to be the happiest guy in town.
Well, I was a never Hillary person from the get-go, so for that I'm happy, yeah. Yeah.
And you were saying, as we were having this discussion, I voted Trump, but I felt like Hillary was going to win. And you said, I said, I just think she's got a better ground game. And you were saying, it doesn't matter. You were pointing to the rallies and the enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. And you, sir, in the end, were right.
Well, Doug thought she was going to win, too.
Yeah, I kind of thought that she would, although I'm not stunned that he did, just based on all the enthusiasm that he's had everywhere he's gone for the last year and a half. I just don't think that you could ignore that.
There's so many questions, and philosophically, I'm looking forward to discussing them with you gentlemen, and we, of course, welcome the listeners to call in, to text in 855-282-8255, 855-CUB-TALK. Save it. Use it to call in the appliances, counter phone lines. The Appliance Discounters, with 6 St. Louis area locations, online at theappliancediscounters.com. They make the program possible, and we want you to support the sponsors, The Appliance Discounters, online at theappliancediscounters.com. So 855-CUB-TALK is how you can call in. I really would like to talk with people today. Some days there's we'll just go text inbox, but I would like to get people's reaction to the election, and you are welcome to call in. We'll make sure to get phone calls on, in addition to Ken Bone and Brian Curtis being with us. And like I said, I'll be talking with Jack Danforth coming up as well later on. We'll have that for you tomorrow. I think there are a few people who in about 30 hours' time will be interviewing Jack Danforth and Bonnie Rotten. So I think I'm sixth on that list.
Yeah.
I think I'm sixth.
They usually appear on the same sort of presentation.
Bonnie Rotten. Dais, sir. Dais.
Bonnie Rotten had said she was looking for another Brexit. So
what?
Yeah.
So she called her shot. Mm-hmm. But we would like, I would like to anyway, hear from the people, not just in text, although we have plenty of text coming in. And you can also text in the very same number, 855-282-8255. So many things that I'm fascinated by. One of the things that I'm most fascinated by is how the polling data was so off. And one of the things, Doug, you theorized, I don't know how long ago, but I know it was more than a month ago, maybe months ago, and I theorized too, but I certainly didn't think it would lead to a Donald Trump win, is that there would be a number of people outside of the South and Midwest, and when I say Midwest, I'm talking about like Missouri Midwest, who were going to vote for Trump, but didn't want to say it. And so therefore there could be underrepresentation. I was watching CNN last night, and Jake Tapper, And I don't know where people are on Jake Tapper. Personally, I find him to be a journalist, but I don't know where he falls on people's reads on, you know, bias or not bias. I don't even know if anybody considers anybody unbiased anymore. But either way, he was telling a story. I think he's from Philadelphia, and he was there, I believe, covering the Democratic convention, and he said there were a lot of leaners, and John King or Wolf Blitzer said, well, what's a leaner? And he said people who would lean in and whisper, I'm going to vote for Trump, but didn't want to proudly say it. But I just, it's tough for me to say, well, that's the reason for, I mean, this was a convincing win. This wasn't a narrow win. This was a convincing win. The path to victory, the path to the White House for Donald Trump went through states that had gone Democratic for 24 years. You have to go back to 1992 and Bill Clinton so this is something that, you know, caught, I don't want to say everyone, but the vast majority of people off guard. But the polling data, and it's not just the popular thing, because she, I don't know where it stands right now, but it, you know, when I went to bed and when I was watching the coverage this morning, there was talk of her still winning the popular vote, but losing, of course, the Electoral College. And we would always mock how they would talk about the popular vote when it's irrelevant. You need to focus on Ohio and Pennsylvania. But she was ahead there. And the one I think that caught everyone off guard, I think, was Wisconsin. And then the convincing win in Michigan. That's when I go, wow, this is really actually going to happen. So I'm curious as to how it was that far off.
Well, I think we saw a great deal of candidate shaming. You know, when the media, you had two flawed candidates. I don't know how you can get around that, but the media seemed to weigh in that what Trump had done, which was bad, was much worse than what Hillary. And I think based on that, a lot of people didn't want to publicly announce who they were voting for. And you talk about Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Trump.
But so then in polls, what's, you know, that? Like in polls where they're called or asked to, I think they underestimated the rural vote. That was one of the things that I saw on numerous networks last night. That was an overwhelming turnout. Hillary Clinton, if I'm not mistaken, either only got 53%. Or Donald Trump got 53%. Either way, 53% gives you an idea. Approximately 50% of white women. That was a lot lower than what was expected.
The Latino turnout wasn't as great as they had been projecting. And you know, you talk about like Wisconsin. Trump's people didn't think they were going to win Wisconsin. And Hillary never even went there because she was so confident, because it's always Democratic strong.
Yeah, my understanding of Wisconsin was the Trump campaign's analytics told them they would win Wisconsin, but they didn't. They thought the analytics were wrong because they're like, how is it possible we're going to win Wisconsin? I mean, it really, as odd as it was, I didn't think it was going to be a sweat at all, and it wasn't a sweat, except it was the complete opposite of what I thought.
And you were saying, Doug, yesterday, because I said I just feel like Hillary's going to win this. And you said the enthusiasm aspect, and maybe that was the big decider in this. Trump's base was more enthusiastic. There was more in the base than most people thought. And again, when some folks are looking at this, I see it all over Twitter, you know, well, this is a win for racism we had two flawed candidates. And the one thing that's clear is that when you have, Sanders giving Hillary a run for her money, you're talking about a guy who isn't really a Democrat, who's an admitted socialist, giving her, and then Trump out of nowhere, who's really wasn't a Republican either. These are two outsiders that got traction because people are tired of the way politics is run today in America, right? I mean, to me, that's the big takeaway.
She was clearly the worst candidate that's ever been nominated by a major political party. He might have been the second worst, but she had to be the worst. I think
that's something. Do you guys remember this was a few months ago? It was stunning to me. It was stunning. Of all of the stuff that we've discussed as far as polls, put it on the fan page. And while the fan page is, you know, something we joke around about, there are a large number of people in there. It's not exactly representative of the American electorate by any means, but certainly a healthy amount of people voting in this thing. And the question was, hypothetical, of course, if you could vote for Barack Obama, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Gary Johnson, Jill Stein, or other, who would you vote for? And we received hundreds of votes, and Obama won, Trump was in second, and Hillary received like 10 votes. And I remember thinking to myself, I can't believe that. Not because I was voting for Hillary, but I'm just like, how in the hell is that possible?
Well, I think I know. Why were people voting for Hillary? Because she wasn't Trump.
Right. And that was, I talked about that a couple days ago, that keeping it 1600 podcast, which is absolutely on the left. I still enjoy listening to it, but you recognize it for what it is. They just missed that one specifically. This isn't a broad brush painting of it, but in that one specifically, they were off the mark. I recall listening to him saying, you know, a lot of the Trump people were voting for Trump because they didn't like Hillary. But the Hillary people, for the most part, were voting for Hillary because they liked Hillary. And I remember listening to that as I was in the gym, and I go, wow. Which I think that couldn't be more off.
Which one of her policies do you like?
She's for the children.
Yeah, I think she's for
communities. Give me a policy that she comes out there, you go, yeah, I can really get behind that. Which one? It's just that she wasn't Trump. There's a lot of policies that Trump has that people really got behind. They got behind trying to change the trade deals to make it more a level playing field for American business, about trying to control illegal immigration, about making the military stronger, about coming up with a new healthcare system because Obamacare is not working. Those are issues that people can get behind. What issue did Hillary bring up that you said, yeah, that's what I'm for?
Trump is
terrible. I couldn't come up with any.
Well, I just look at how it went down last night. I'm watching it in the early going, and it looked in the early going, okay, this is going to be a short night, and Hillary's going to win. And then just watching the returns, not on CNN because they were so behind, one after the other, it was shocking. And whether or not you like Trump, if you were watching that, you were watching a huge piece of American history. I mean,
nail-biting because so many of the key states were so close. I mean, Florida just kind of went back and forth all the way through. You see the numbers, it was 50% in, and Trump would be up by 2%, and then, 58% in, and now Hillary's up by 2%. It was that way almost to the end.
Did you watch CNN for the most part?
CNN, then I saw on Twitter Rachel Maddow was having a meltdown, I switched over to see that, and then some NBC, because I respect Tom Brokaw a great deal. And his historical perspective on it. So that was where the majority of my viewing was on it.
I've been accused rarely on this show of interrupting. And even I watching Wolf Blitzer just hammer John King.
I was thinking about sending out a tweet with Wolf Blitzer, : the cat on Fox, John King, : D. Vaughn, who I still believe is CBS 920, despite us being here now in our third month.
Doug, I can't change it. I cannot figure out how to change it.
That was going to be my analogy, yes. So and it's funny that you bring that up.
And they were getting angry at each other. Like, Wolf Blitzer need to have a little
bit. Oh, were they
getting
more angry?
Well, at some point, Wolf was like, okay, I want to see Nevada. Like, he got a little harsh in his tone at one point. John, I want to finish this. I think that maybe that's heat of battle, but I thought at some point they could exchange punches.
Wolf panic.
I think John King was really getting upset with him interrupting.
Well, I didn't catch that. I caught the interruptions sure. I didn't catch the upset part.
Because at first, and Iggy pointed this out, once Wolf Blitzer found out that he had this feature where you can slide it and find out what the percentage of that district is, which John King wasn't using, Wolf was just go over there and slide it on his own.
Now, I went to bed around midnight. I figured this was going to go in well into the night, but I DVR'd everything so I could wake up this morning and watch and see what Hillary Clinton had to say, see what Trump had to say. And I was really surprised that John Podesta was the one who addressed those who thought it was going to be a victory party in New York City for Hillary Clinton and not Hillary herself. Now, Hillary did call Trump to concede, But she did not address her supporters, and she did call to concede. But and then Trump spoke, and I thought, you know, I mean, it wasn't by any means, you know, a brilliant address, but it was an attempt at a unifying message. That's for certain. He wasn't gloating. He really wasn't. I watched the entire thing. But I thought, had the shoe been on the other foot, the foot that most of us thought it was going to be on, and Trump simply called but then sent out Kellyanne Conway, and then Hillary Clinton came out there, people would be, and I think understandably so, condemning Trump. So I think Hillary Clinton did herself a disservice, not that it really matters, because I don't know what she is going to do anymore anyway, but just from a prospect of in the best interests of the country, by not addressing it. Sure, it was late, but it was later when Donald Trump came out after Podesta and addressed the country. I recall saying just yesterday, I said, I can't imagine Donald Trump making concession speech, just because it doesn't seem like it's in his DNA. But Hillary Clinton will have to make a concession speech. She's just going to have to make it this morning. And I think maybe I'm wrong on this, with the benefit of hindsight, I'm sure she would have rather just put the damn thing to bed last night as opposed to get up and do it whenever and however she does it this morning. But like I'm saying, had the shoe been on the other foot, had Clinton won, as you know, the vast majority of polls indicated she was going to, and win by a comfortable margin, and Trump would not have gone out and made a concession speech, he would have been condemned. And I think that was a big miss on her part and her campaign's part.
Trump was asked during the debates whether or not he would accept the election if it went against him. Hillary was never asked that. Apparently, on the flight back after the debate, a reporter asked Hillary if she would accept the results if she were on the losing end, and she just laughed. Hillary just laughed.
Me lose? Yeah. It was a classless move not to come out and say that, especially for all of her supporters there, all these people that had worked so long for her. She couldn't take 90 seconds to walk out there and thank everybody. I didn't even blame them for not conceding at that point. There were still some states out there that were so close, after you've pumped all this effort and money into a campaign and you still got some votes and it really hasn't been clinched yet. I wouldn't have blamed them for saying, we're not conceding yet, but thanks much. We're going to hang in there. I appreciate all your support.
Yeah.
Not conceding yet, but maybe things will turn around late. But I appreciate
still,
your help.
But the election was called at around, I don't know, because like I said, I was DVRing it, so I was just fast forwarding through the coverage, but the election was called. And then at that point, I don't recall. I mean, of course, in 2000, that was one of the greatest outliers in American history with Bush v. Gore. But, you know, a campaign manager, and maybe it did happen, and I'm missing an obvious one, I don't know, coming out and saying, go home, get some sleep.
I was shocked. When they said Podesta was coming out, I thought to myself, well, based on the way this election went, he's going to say something like, we have evidence that the results are, you know, a result of hacking by Russia or something, because I couldn't imagine he was going to give the consolation speech or that he was going to say anything. And then when he said, good night, everyone, go home.
Yeah.
I was shocked by that.
Your thoughts are welcome. I said I wanted to get the phone call, so I want to make sure I deliver on that. Like I said, we'll be joined by a friend of the show and TMA election correspondent Ken Bone at 8 o'clock. Brian Curtis of The Ringer. That's at 9 o'clock, and I'll be interviewing Senator Jack Danforth coming up at 1 o'clock, and we'll have that for you on the program tomorrow, and then we'll have TMA live at Hot Shots, sponsor of the Hot Take Bell, tomorrow night at the Hot Shots in Fenton. Doug, I'll be interviewing Jack Danforth at 1, and then Bonnie Rotten tomorrow at Hot Shots.
Yeah, you're going to handle that one, I think.
What I'm doing is I'm diversifying my portfolio. That's what I'm doing. This is John. John, you're on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. You lead things off the morning after the election, no pun intended. It's pretty good, though.
Hello. Good morning. Thanks for the call.
Hello, Johnny.
My quick question is, do you think this is the end of Hillary? Will she throw in the towel? She's been trying to run for president for 30 years or whatever. I saw a documentary on Channel 9 the other night about her whole history with Bill Clinton and everything, and that was her purpose to stay with him, is to run for president. Do you think that it's time for her to throw in the towel, or will she do that herself?
She lost to Donald Trump, question. A deeply flawed candidate. Yeah. She lost.
She is done.
She is done. She got a run for money from a socialist, and she also lost to Barack Obama. Previously, there's nowhere for her to go.
She's also 69 years old. Yeah. She'd be 73 by the time another election cycle rolls around. She's definitely finished.
Yeah. I am anxious to see what she says. I I don't want to say I was surprised because I'm actually not surprised, but I was disappointed. You know, who am I to be disappointed? But that was my honest reaction. Like, what is this? You're going to, because again, the whole thing was the vast majority of people following these polls that were clearly way off, as far as state elections go, was how will Donald Trump handle this? Will he accept the results? Well, she didn't concede. She called him to concede, but she didn't go out there and speak.
And had
Trump done that, I would have gone, well, that's disappointing. Not surprising, but disappointing. And, you know, I mean, from my standpoint, as somebody who begrudgingly wound up voting for Hillary Clinton, something as I was doing it, I was thinking, I can't believe I'm doing this. This is something I never thought I would do. But I couldn't vote for Gary Johnson, and I didn't want to, like, write in Deke Dotum, as a number of our listeners apparently did.
Did, really?
By screenshotting that and posting that. You know, he is our president now, something I also never thought I would be saying. Donald Trump is our president-elect, and from my standpoint, whether I agree with the vast majority of his policies or disagree with them, or whether I agree with the manner with which he went about campaigning or disagree with them, when it's all said and done, as an American, I want to see him be successful. And so, you know, while I am stunned and saddened, not necessarily because Hillary Clinton didn't win, because I wouldn't have been excited about that, but I'm saddened that it's him, I still want to see him be successful. And hopefully here is a man who, against all odds throughout the course of this whole thing, has continued to prove people wrong. Hopefully the final chapter will be that he proves a lot of people wrong and will wind up being a great president, something I never thought I would say also. But at this point, he just continues to prove people wrong. And hopefully something that to me I thought would never happen will wind up being something that is good for the country. This morning, I certainly don't expect it to be the case, but as an American, I hope it is the case.
I voted for Trump, and I didn't feel good about it. I thought to myself, I can't believe I'm doing this as well. I think a lot of people had that feeling. I stayed up last night because I wanted to see Hillary's concession speech, not to see Trump. I didn't. Once Podesta came out, I went to bed. I figured Trump would speak, but if I wasn't going to hear from, that's why I stayed up. I was disappointed because I wanted to see how she would handle. She was shocked that she was behind in the polls. You know,
she should have been ahead by 50 at one point.
You know, shocked. Yep. I wanted to see how she reacted.
This also speaks to, you know, a lot of people, understandably, because there's plenty of things to discuss here, because this just wasn't, by the way, the White House. This was a sweeping win for the Republican Party. The guy I was most excited about got shipped, and that's Chris Koster. I mean, do you guys know the final percentages on that? It wasn't even close.
No, yeah.
We talked about yesterday. We were asking at the Plowhawk, seems to be our Chuck Todd here. He digs up these numbers. But it was too close to call. It was within the margin of error. But when it was all said and done, it wasn't even close.
7, I think, wasn't it?
What's that? The margin was 7? Is that what it was?
Didn't I hear this morning 7?
I just know that Koster was conceding early and Greitens was celebrating early.
I don't think a lot of people saw that coming either.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, absolutely not. But this is across the board. I mean, Donald Trump has the White House. The Republicans have the Senate. The Republicans have the House. The Republicans will have the Supreme Court. It really is the opposite of what, with the exception of the House, many thought was going to be the case starting in January 2017. So this was an edict from the American voter that this is the direction the vast majority wanted to go. But it also speaks to, I think it speaks for more than anything about Hillary Clinton. I really do.
I really do.
I think if I had to put it at number one, is what happened here is how there certainly was a great amount of enthusiasm for Donald Trump, which, you know, I don't know anybody who would dispute that. That was obvious from the moment he announced and then dominated the Republican nomination process. But the amount of enthusiasm Hillary Clinton got was way either overstated or people just assumed that there was, and the energy and the enthusiasm with which people voted for Barack Obama in 2008 and 2012 was not even close for this. And what an indictment, no pun intended, of Hillary Clinton for this to go down the way it went. It wasn't really even close.
No. And to me, the interesting thing is that you talk about the House and Senate and the local races. A lot of these folks were not Trump people, the Republicans. You know, there was a lot of people moving away from Trump. It wasn't like this was one message for the Republicans that swept. I think it had a lot to do with Hillary Clinton being viewed as corrupt. And also, if you read the WikiLeaks, Doug, there's a lot of stuff on the Democratic Party. And I wonder if people looked at the Democratic Party as, the establishment that had to be, controlled.
Yeah, I don't think her problems are over by any stretch. They're still investigating the Clinton Foundation. And her problems may just be beginning now that she's going to have a Republican president and a Republican Congress that might go after that.
And I'd be curious to see Bernie's supporters if reading how the Democratic Party embraced Hillary, at a cost for the Bernie campaign, if that had something to do with some folks that were Bernie supporters jumping on with Trump.
Possibly. I mean, you still have to get back to the fact that she won the popular vote. Or she's winning it by about 100,000 nationwide over Trump.
Oh, it's only 100,000?
Yeah. Right. What I'm looking at is she got 59,177,000 and he got 59,041,000. So it's close, but.
But I understand that, but it's still, that which I mocked for the last X amount of months, the popular vote is irrelevant. Not that that's a hot take.
But it's an indication of where the nation is in general.
Right. But it's the coasts. It's the coast. I mean, you look at that map, of course, it's a bunch of land with not many people living in it and in between the coasts. But nonetheless, you look at that map and it's overwhelming. But there were states that she missed. The upper Midwest, the Rust Belt. I know a lot about Pennsylvania.
I think it was that speech that put him over the top. Pennsylvania was the state that actually
that
gave
was
him
the
270.
Speech. So that's what crazy. You believe it
when
was.
When he came out and said, are we going to do that whole thing
I know
again?
A lot about Pennsylvania, and it's great. How's Joe Paterno? Are we going to bring that back?
It's over. Game winner.
That was it.
You think that?
Well, some of the Hillary supporters threw themselves right off the balcony. You could hear them screaming.
Do you think that that's a blueprint that political candidates in the future will be asking about recently deceased or maybe not so recently deceased sports figures?
I don't like mosquitoes.
That's something I can get on board with.
That got they got mosquito problems in Wisconsin.
Missouri.
Remix.
Good football teams. Those college teams are good, huh?
Yep. Vanderbilt.
What are you going to do this year? I think pretty good stuff.
Ah,
huh?
He likes our club, Missouri. Yeah.
Well, he was focused on the Delaware State tilt. Yes, Keith.
Hello, Keith. What's going on, guys?
Oh, not much. How are you, Keith?
I'm doing pretty good. I got a couple comments. The first thing is it shows you they threw everything they could possibly throw at Trump, and it didn't stick. And the media is so biased when Kennedy's polls out front from the very beginning because they just figured – she was appointed to be president 2 years ago. I mean, nobody's going to run against her. We all knew that.
Right.
But to see, I'm kind of like you, Doug. I didn't want to vote for Hillary. I'd have voted for the kitchen sink. I'd have voted for a flat tire. It didn't matter to me. Mm-hmm. She's the most crookedest person in the world. And that's what it comes down to. Everybody hates her. And everybody's known it since her husband was president.
Yeah. And well, half the country didn't hate her. Well, but half the country certainly does.
Well, you can go down that road and say she won a popular vote.
Keith, looks like we lost you. Doug, you said you wanted to hear from caller Adam?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Hi, Adam.
Hello, Adam.
Hey, guys. I was talking to John Seymour in the back.
The Sea Monster.
Three in the calls, and I kind of agree with him. Like, the feeling last night was just, like, shock. And I'm not saying I lean towards either way. It's just, like, you didn't see this coming.
Who did you vote for, if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah, so I voted Democrat the whole way, but I left the president one blank because I knew it didn't matter in Missouri. So I left that blank as like a protest because I hated all the candidates. Hmm. Does that make sense?
Well, I guess if you're going to vote a straight Democratic ticket, you probably might as well go ahead and vote for the presidential candidate.
Shut up real quick. Shut up. Because I, for a long time...
Put him down!
No, hold on.
This is Doug's day.
Hold on. I thought Doug was an idiot this whole time. Man, this guy's an idiot. He's dumb. He's old. He's an idiot. All that. But I
feel like this is going to go well at the end for you, Doug, but I don't
really
know.
Listen, you're making some very, very strong arguments right now.
shush. I need to apologize.
Don't tell me to shush.
He's apologizing. He's apologizing.
He is not.
Hold on. No.
Okay, Doug requested for two pots down, and I got to acknowledge.
He was going to apologize to Doug.
Well, it was a really long-winded way of getting there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true.
Put him down!
Hello?
It's Sex Lewis.
Ah, hello, Timberfake.
Timberfake,
I'm 2.0 today. I was like the Catman said, I was just waiting for Hillary's speech. You know, I got the picture of Sexy Trump. Go ahead, Catman.
I was watching CNN, and I think it was Tapper.
Clinton News Network, yeah.
I think Tapper turned to the camera and he said, we're getting a lot of reports that Timberfake backing Trump may have catapulted him in this presidential race.
I think I did. I think there's been so much drama on the fan page. Like, I can't keep up with it. Like, is Tony Timberfake that much, like, is she, like, that girl, I'm telling you, man, there's something about her. She's like a superwoman. Like she just gets back on the fan page and then it goes crazy.
Well, what's going crazy?
I'm telling you, I swear, like, you can add, like, it's not about that. I gave her a make sexless great again hat.
Yeah.
I gave it to her. And since I gave it to her,
it's a nice gesture.
She's been out of control. She's just been running around like a wild cat.
And there's been allegations of a chokehold at the wheelhouse.
Yeah. See, you know, I don't know if we should go to this on air now. Like, I want to save that for Thursday because, you know.
The Bonnie Rotten Show, Doug.
I defend myself about a guy choking me.
You're going to be in attendance tomorrow night at Hot Shots?
Yeah, man. I'm going to be, you know, I need security detail now. You know, Trump won, and now they're posting pictures of me on the fan page with what do they call that flag? Like, it's so out of control. Like, Doug Vaughn always told me to stay out of the fan page.
Why would you need security because Trump won?
I need security detail like Trump, man, because I'm Sex Lewis.
Just like Trump.
I'm the champion. I'm the money man. Like, I'm the money man. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I have your back 100%. But there was allegations that a guy in an affliction shirt may have choked you
man. I mean, should we get at the Namaker, or should I say that for?
What did he say, Namaker?
Vietnam.
Should we get into it now, McKernan? Was it?
Doug, look at you. You speak Sex Lewis.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, I don't know. It's like Tony Lee, like, she's so drama. Like, it's all, she's just, she loves attention. She's a beautiful girl, you know? She's like a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I invented her.
How so? You dated her a little while.
Yeah, but, I mean, I admit, she's great on the radio. I think I hope nobody takes this personal. I don't say no names, but I think she's better than said girl that does the other show. Like, I think this girl should be
such girl,
new girl. Like, Tony Lee's got a radio voice, and it's not about that. But, like, it's about, well, I mean, what do you want to talk about? It's about, we want to talk about Trump, or we want to talk about Tony Lee?
I was asking about choking.
I don't know. Do you want to talk about that now, guys?
It's a yes or no. Did you get choked out at the wheelhouse? It doesn't need to be, you know, a 50-minute debate.
I get back from sexy Chicago. I'm up there in Deep Gums and Shy Play Baby type area. And, you know, she goes, oh, meet me on the Halloween, all right? You feel me?
Yeah, I feel it.
So, she just texted me, no. She goes, don't talk about it. But
She was more than happy to talk about it on the air. I'm just giving you a chance to respond.
Yeah, hey. I don't listen. Oh, she's texting me. She goes, she's texting me now. I got to say this, baby. She goes, you didn't create me. I created Tony Timberfake. I did.
All right. Maybe tomorrow you guys can read texts to each other on the dais.
No. Here's what.
Did you get choked out at the wheelhouse or not? Yes or no, sir? Do I have to remind you you're under oath?
Here's what really happened. All right, Grandma, go to bed.
Oh, come on. She should have been in bed hours ago.
I'm in the country at the lake, man. I'm sexy Timberfake at the lake, man. All right, here's what happened. All right, guys. I'm gonna tell you.
Focus, and just tell us if it happened or not.
All right.
I'm putting you on the clock, sir.
Like she said. No, okay, all right, listen. So she goes, I get back from sexy Chicago. She goes, meet me out for Halloween.
I got that.
Did you get choked out?
I'm going to tell you how it happened.
All right.
You're back from sexy Chicago. Go.
Listen. No, it's I'm in love with her. I love the girl.
Wow.
Any girl that would kiss a guy in front of you and look at a guy, she just grabs a random guy and makes out with him and kisses him and looks at you and laughs at it. Anybody, like, that's they should be happy. That's the only thing I did. And I gave him his phone back because I thought about it. You know, because I'm sexless. I thought about it.
Right.
But
wait, so you're, hold on. I think I understand. So you're saying anyone who is in love with a girl that intentionally kisses another guy, the solution is to let that guy choke you.
He didn't choke me, man.
Well, all right, that's what we're trying to figure out. Am I wrong, Doug?
No. Did you indeed offer your neck to be
do
choked?
Do you think if you were to really choke me, do you think sexless would just give up?
No.
Sexless can have sex with anybody.
This fella has a rep as an MMA fighter.
Plowhawk's writing that down as a
clip-off. I don't even know who he is. He was
the guy with his hands wrapped around your neck. See, that you're what's her, Tony?
Tony Lee.
Tony guy. Lee came on and laughed and told us how you were choked, and I was like, I can't believe this is true. So now I'm giving you a chance. So you're saying it did not happen?
I'm saying she made. Okay, here's the thing.
No. Yes or no? Did it happen?
No. Wait, listen to the story, Kat.
Well, we got off course.
Listen to the story.
Right,
I'm going to explain myself. So here's what happens. She invited me out.
We got that.
Oh, she's texting me a lot. She's texting me right. Liar. Oh my God.
Tim, we're running out of time.
Sir, I'm giving you 10 seconds to simply say, did you get choked out? Yes or no?
It's all BS. It's all BS. It's Pierre. It's like Michael Jackson. It's Pierre. No. Of course.
It's a baguette.
Of course. But any guy in my position would do whatever I did. And actually, any guy that's in love with a girl would have did way worse than that. She was a devil, and she plays with the play baby's feelings, and that's not cool. I'm sexless. She can't play with the play baby's feelings.
No, not the play
baby. Are you guys going to Hot Shots Fenton tomorrow for the Bonnie Rotten TMA Live together, or are you bringing another love interest?
You know, I think I might have to bring that brunette McKernan because, I want to bring Tony Lee, and I want to go behind the scenes and just have sexless behind the scenes, but
what that means.
She doesn't want to do that. I think she wants drama. She wants a drama. She wants to bring this Karate Kid, and I don't know.
That's Ralph Macchio.
Doesn't matter. I have
she's filth.
It doesn't matter. I have security detail like Donald Trump.
You don't.
And I have to give a shout out to Hot Tub Dave. Baby.
I'm going
to
try one, Tim, if you allow me to just jump back in.
ADD kicked in right there.
Can
right
I jump back in?
Of course.
All right. So last try. So you're saying he didn't choke, but you did say anyone would have done what I did, but you haven't explained what you did or what happened. Except
all right, give me a chance to play.
No. We're out of chances. We know you're there with Tony Lee. We know she kisses the guy. What happened?
He took the guy's cell phone. That's what most normal guys would do.
She grabbed a random guy and kissed him and was licking him in front of me and looked
licking
at me and
him,
smiled
dog.
And
licking
laughed
him.
While she did. Yeah, and laughed while she did it.
Is that a thing?
And I grabbed his phone off his hand, and I caught myself, and I go, man, I'm about to beat that booty. I'm about to knock him. I'm about to knock him out of sex, Lewis. That's what I'm about to do.
Really?
And I go, and then he kind of grabbed me, and I gave him his phone back. It was kind of like all just chill. You know, then I apologize for it. Because I can have any girl I want in sex, Lewis.
No, absolutely.
But I want Tony Lee.
Yeah.
And I don't even want her no more. I do, but I don't.
Wow. Like, there's a lot going
well
on
said.
Right there.
And last week he said he wasn't interested anymore.
It's like Paul, where's Iggy at? Let me talk to Iggy.
He was just talking.
Last week you said you weren't interested anymore. Now you're in love again. What the hell's going on?
I mean, Iggy, I'm like the girl, like, it's Tony Lee. Like, I'm in love, man, okay? Everybody in sex Lewis, I'll admit it, whatever. I'm in love with Tony Lee. Who cares?
Wow.
But you can't, you know?
Hot shots, we know that.
Yeah.
Sex Lewis knows that.
Well, I'm a Tony Lee Lemming, so I'm with you.
Who's got the photo with sexy Trump?
You do, I think.
Let me check. You do.
Who won tonight? And who won tonight?
You ran in front of the SUV.
No, it's
give
a good
you
evening
credit
when you're still calling last night tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whatever. It's a sexy day in America.
And you know what?
Just clip that.
Let me just tell you. Love is higher than a mountain. Wow. Love is thicker than
Tim
water.
Fake, wonderful call.
So, yeah, but listen. So
we've been listening.
You know.
Hello.
That's it. I can't.
Yeah,
I tried. I can't.
Now I'm exhausted.
Okay, now it's time for my poll. Do you believe Timberfake was choked out or not?
God, I don't know.
I think he was, or he would have said, what are you talking about?
That's exactly my read, too, Doug.
If he was not, I don't think he was choked up.
If he was not, he would have said, no, that's absolute. Well, but he didn't 100%. Say that's BS. He said BS. I don't know what that means.
Wait, so we got two choked. You said choke. You say so, choke.
Yeah. Yes. No, I said not choked.
No.
I think Tony Lee made it up.
Wow, wow, wow. And where's the investigative news team here that we were hoping we get the wheelhouse security footage?
We're working on that. Ray King is attempting to get it for us.
They're probably working on some sources for this story.
Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man, so I guess he can relate. Tim, I'm embarrassed to say I once threw the white collar gangster's phone for making out with Doug in front of me. Thanks.
White collar. Injun Joe's Cave Ride, you've been suspended. You've been suspended a period of 2 days' time. Your name is going into the Llewellyn's Pub leather-bound suspension log.
How about not suspending someone today? Because you're this is the first time you were up late. You didn't say I'm not going to be much goods to you. And how about you don't suspend folks today?
Well, how about they behave? How about they behave themselves?
I'm just asking.
Fuelsy's on the line. Yes, Fuelsy.
Hello, Fuelsy.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Oh, we're fine, Fuelsy.
Congrats, Doug.
Well, I didn't do anything. I appreciate the sentiment.
Yeah.
We got a bad connection here, Fuelsy, so you might want to hit the hole, baby. Hit the hole.
Oh, one second. Hold on.
Perfect. Okay, sorry to bother you.
I swear we call these people. We must call these people.
And he wasn't here. Yes.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
All right.
Ken I'm Bone in 10 minutes. All
right, what do you got, sir?
Oh, not a whole lot.
All right.
I haven't called in a while. Just a little down in the dumps today.
Why?
You know.
Well, why don't you tell us why you're down in the dumps?
I feel like we lost it.
Well, if you're talking about the Democratic Party, that would be correct.
Well, yeah. And I got in the booth, and I couldn't vote for Hillary. Damn sure wasn't voting for Trump. So I wrote in Bernie, and I'm just kind of angry, you know, because I feel like they screwed him out of, you know, everything. I feel like there's not even a chance in hell that Trump would have beat Bernie Sanders.
Well, I don't know that Bernie was much better candidate either, really. But I think by voting for that third party candidate, as it turned out in Florida, I think Johnson carried a significant percentage there, like 6 or 7%. If those people had gone to Hillary instead of made their protest vote, you know, it might have been a different result.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I live in Missouri, though.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm just saying, sometimes you throw your vote away if you don't go for one of the candidates
that has a chance.
Yeah,
but not in Missouri.
All right, yeah. Fuelsy.
Okay.
Thank you, Fuelsy.
Heck of a call, Fuelsy.
We're not going to see if this guy's legit or not.
I'm confident he's not, so that's my reasoning. Tony Lee texting me, get the footage. Y'all will die. He is lying. He got choked out.
Now, why is she so happy about this, though?
And I see Timberfakes occupying one of our phone lines so he can listen. You know, in 2016, there are a number of ways, assuming you don't have a burner phone, that you can listen to the program.
Ham radio?
Mm.
You know what they should do, these two kids, because I think they're destined to be... Timberfakes, slip her a note with two boxes. Do you like me? A yes and a no. And she can check one, and then you'll know, and then maybe you can meet by the monkey bars.
Oh!
Mm. Right?
Kind of a third grade move. Well, maybe fourth or fifth grade. You don't really like girls in third grade, do you?
This Timber Lee was she was
Timber
very,
Lee
Tony
she was,
Lee.
She was very happy to tell the story, and she was almost enjoying the fact that he got choked. I don't think she should.
She is standing by
that.
It. She texted again. That was sick. LOL. He needs sleep.
But there's no LOL.
I would never lie about that. Just saying. You better believe me. Tony Lee, also known as Timber Lee. Doug, that's like Kimberly.
Yeah, I know.
Ken Bone is going to be with us at 8 o'clock. Brian Curtis of The Ringer at 9 o'clock. Your texts at 855-CUB-TALK. Your emails, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. You can call in the appliance discount of phone lines. Doug, people are saying, hey, Tim, man, you're so soft. You're so smooth, along with being tight and rewarding.
Wonder how you achieve that.
Well, Harry's Razors is the answer. It's been a totally different experience by... getting Harry's Razors, and our audience is getting on board with it as well, and they are experiencing what I've experienced. Harry's blades cost just $2 per blade compared to $4 or more that you will pay at the drugstore. By owning their own factory in Germany where they make the blades, Harry's can produce high-quality razors themselves and sell them online for half the price. They're so confident in the quality of their blades, they will send you their popular free trial set, which comes with a razor, five-blade cartridge, and shaving gel. Get your free trial set when you subscribe. Just cover shipping. Get started with Harry's today. For our listeners, enter the promo code INSIDESTL at checkout to get one of Harry's award-winning lotions for after your shave for free when you order. The lotion's a soothing and cooling way to protect your skin after your shave, and it smells great. Go to harrys.com right now and enter promo code INSIDESTL at checkout to get your exclusive radio offer. This limited-time offer is a $5 value and yours only at harrys.com, H-A-R-R-Y-S.com, with the promo code INSIDESTL. Ken Bone is coming up here in a few minutes. Brian Curtis is coming up, and we welcome the listeners to get involved by texting in. Here as a number are, I'm trying to sift through. Why is Timber Fake playing himself like a simp, yo? That's from Manchild 79.
Like a simp. Sup, Manchild.
Gary Johnson won 200,004 votes, or 2.2%. In Florida, Trump won 49.1% to 47.7%. Realistically, you know, it would to assign all 200,000 votes to Hillary there wouldn't be realistic. You'd have to have some kind of proportionate adjustment. But yeah, I mean, from my standpoint, I get it. If it's a protest vote, God bless America. To each their own on anybody voting for whoever they want, of course. But I would have been fine with voting for Gary Johnson, even if I recognized, just like when I voted for Hillary reluctantly, I recognized it wasn't going to matter in the state of Missouri, but I always want to vote for, at least usually, who I think would be the best. In this case, it was a vote against Donald Trump, just like so many people voted against Hillary Clinton. But I could not vote for Gary Johnson. And we've seen what's happened with some of these third-party situations over the years. 92, of course, with Ross Perot gaining the most traction, but 2000 is sided with Ralph Nader potentially playing a large role in George Bush winning Florida, and of course, therefore, winning the Electoral College after Bush v. Gore. But I watched Gary Johnson and was like, yikes.
Probably not.
I can't support that either. A better third-party candidate, as we discussed yesterday, I would have. That's where I would have been. But I was not impressed with Jill Stein. I was not impressed with Gary Johnson, and that was my reasoning. But considering the choices for the presidential election, I don't think I can really blame anybody for any of the choices.
Yeah.
It's not like there was one where I'm going, well, how do you not vote that way?
I think and I hope that the Donald Trump we saw giving his victory speech last night is more like the President Trump we will see rather than
the candidate. I
agree with
you. That's what I am hopeful for as well, sir.
I think as a candidate, he had to go on the attack to stand out from the other people running as Republicans, and then he had to go on the attack to try to expose Hillary for what she is. And, you know, he came across as a mean-spirited bully on many occasions. He doesn't have to be that now. Now he can just set about trying to go through his platform, trying to get things done, and I think he's going to be a lot better president than a lot of people are fearing right now. I know half the country is in a dead panic, and I really don't think they have to be. I think he'll be much better than what people believe.
And he was better and more in control for the latter stages of the election, too. A lot of people, even his own campaign people, were saying that Donald Trump is the reason why he won last night. You know, a guy who doesn't fly off the handle.
He doesn't have to anymore.
Maybe he's just, I mean, maybe he knew what he was doing every step of the way.
When I watched
is that possible that he?
I honestly don't think so.
I think he was just kind of freewheeling the whole way through. When I would watch The Apprentice, I couldn't watch very long because I hated him so much. I said, I'm not watching this.
But I thought you liked Joan Rivers.
I didn't like her either. I liked her until I saw her on The Apprentice and saw what she was really all about. I said, ah. But he was so obnoxious, I said, I don't like this guy. I'm not watching. And that we saw a lot of that during the primaries. Oh, my God, this guy's just he's a bully. He's a lout. No, thank you. But there's no denying he's been highly successful in life, and I think he'll put a good team around him, and I think he'll be okay.
I do believe he'll get good people around him. And, you know, the truth is that regardless of who the president is, there are checks and balances. You know, safeguards to protect us from a lunatic.
Right.
Well, I mean, he's going to have the House, the Senate, and the Supreme Court.
I think there's a lot of folks that won last night, you know, down the ballot that aren't on board with Trump at all. There's a ton of Republicans weren't on board. Yeah, in terms of party, they have all the power. But, I mean, you read about the Civil War in the Republican Party. I mean, that was a big part of the narrative for a huge part of this campaign. Because you had, you know, there were a lot of Republicans, never Trumpers.
Well, I mean, Mitt Romney, John McCain, George W. Bush, and I don't know if Bob Dole ever said anything one way or the other.
He was 100 years old.
No, I know, but I'm going through the past Republican either presidents or presidential nominees, and my point being, the only one that I am aware of, or the only one that I'm not aware of, where he stood is Bob Dole. That's the only reason I'm bringing it up.
Kasich came out against him.
But as far as actual nominees or Republican presidents, all who are still living, they all either said they were not voting for him or refused to endorse him.
I don't blame the Bushes at all because he trashed their brother, their son. I mean, it got personal with the Bushes. So, you know, I wouldn't have expected them to support Trump.
Doug, what do you say to children of immigrants like me? It's a very uneasy feeling based on his rhetoric and his supporters. That comes from the Indian.
I would say if you're legal, you've got no problems at all. If you're illegal, maybe you do. If you're illegal, you're not supposed to be here.
He's also softened his stance on that, Trump. You know, he's not talking about, he's talking about finding out who's here and getting the people that have committed crimes that are here illegally out. He has softened his stance on that. I don't think there's a reason to fear.
I think a lot of people like the notion of putting America first.
Agree.
Standing up for, you know, it used to be you were a patriot if you did that, and now you're a racist because you don't want other people to come in from the country.
I think there's a lot of people that are anti-globalists. You know, you always hear people that are globalists, one world. I think there are a lot of people that say, no, put the United States first.
Ken Bone's going to join us here in 2 minutes. It's the top of the hour on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. We are live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. You are listening to the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS.